This chapter comes in as part of Moses' great speech to Israel just before they were going to be entering the promised land. He calls them to remember the Lord our God. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'll start reading from verse 1 and read the whole chapter. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you'll eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, to test you, to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is God's word, and we're thankful for it. So if you have your Bible, please do open with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. It'll be very helpful for you to have your Bible open in front of you this morning if you're able to, and if not, please do listen along carefully. Let me just pray and ask for God's help as we come to look at his word together. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us in your word. Thank you that we have our Bibles and we can read them and have them explained together. And I just ask, Lord, that you would come and help me, anoint me with your Spirit, that I would have everything needed in this moment to proclaim your word faithfully and truthfully, and to apply it faithfully and truthfully. So, Lord, bless us together, shut us in with yourself, and speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by asking you a simple question. How are you at remembering things? Now, I imagine that that might divide the congregation this morning, perhaps into two groups. There might be those who know straight away, I'm terrible at remembering things. Maybe some of you might say, I used to be good at it, but I'm struggling. I'd forget my head if it wasn't attached to my neck. Maybe there's some people who think that. I'm probably not far from that category myself. I can be quite forgetful at times. But then there may be some of you who think, do you know what, I'm actually pretty good at remembering things. I don't forget. I've got it together. I'm organized. We see the main difference between these two groups is not primarily the ability of their brains to remember things. The main difference between people who remember and people who forget is this. The people who remember have realized their disposition to forget, but they have put in place structures to help them not to forget. Now, how do I mean? Well, this can be illustrated by mobile phones. Most phones now have a reminders feature on them. If someone was to see me in the street later on today and say, could you call me tomorrow at 1 p.m.? I need to speak to you. And I say, oh yeah, no problem, and just go on, then there is a good chance that I could just forget to call that person at 1. The forgetful person just hopes to remember. But the wise person, you see, knows that they'll forget. So they put a reminder alarm on their little calendar in their phone or in their little diary or whatever their structure or thing is for keeping remembering things. And then they'll look the next day and that'll pop up and remind them at 12:55 p.m. that they have a phone call to make at 1 o'clock. You see, we have to take care to remember things because we all are prone to forget. And the text we're looking at this morning is all about taking care to remember things. Deuteronomy 8 is part of a larger speech that Moses gave to the people of Israel right at the end of their long 40-year transitional journey out of Egypt and into the land that they would call home. Just before they were going to get the keys to get into their new home to settle down, Moses basically stops the people and says, just before you go in to settle down, there are a few things I'd like to say. Like a father speaking to his young son who's just bought a new house, saying, son, just before you go in, there's a few bits of advice I'd like to give you. Moses speaks to the people here, but we know ultimately it's not just the voice of Moses speaking to the people. This is God himself speaking to his people. And the main message of Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I would argue the main message for the whole book of Deuteronomy is this. Watch yourself carefully or you will forget the Lord. Watch yourself carefully or you will forget the Lord. And before we look at this together, I want us to remember, as I've just said, this is not just Moses' word to Israel. This is God's word to his people. And God has seen fit to place this speech in his word for our instruction so that we can know and hear God's revealed will for us as his people. So as we're coming to this and looking at it together, I want you to be listening carefully to the word of God and praying inwardly, Lord, what would you have to say to me this morning through your word? Now, how does Moses communicate and how does God communicate this message to the people through this speech? Well, Moses uses a device really here that would have made it clear to the people at the time what his main point was. Jewish people and in Hebrew literature, to make your main point, you don't often put it right at the end, you put it right in the middle of a speech. And here in this speech, right in the middle, we have this really core verse that Moses gives in verse 11. But before we do that, I want you to help you see the structure of this chapter by asking you to think about an archery target. I don't know if anyone's into archery here at all, but I'm sure we have some idea of what an archery target is. On typical Target, you have sort of like a black outer ring and then a white one, and then you've got a blue one and a red and a yellow bullseye in sort of professional archery. At least that's the ones that I've seen. And what Moses does here in this speech is he has these three big concentric circles that bring us into the centerpiece of this text. You've got what I'm going to call the blue outer ring. And we see that in verse 1 and verse 20. Moses frames this whole message with this kind of circular phrase, obey or keep the Lord's commands. And anytime you see book ending like that or something that sets off the start and end of a passage, you know that this is kind of the central theme here in everything in between. But there's also then a red inner ring from verse 2 to 5, and then it comes back round in verse 15 to 19, where Moses says, remember the Lord so that you will obey or keep his commands. But then we get to the yellow bullseye there in verse 11, where Moses basically says, take care and watch yourself closely so that you'll remember the Lord, so that you will obey. And that becomes this circular structure that leads us and guides us through this speech so that it's clear to us what the main point in the middle is. And that's the structure that I'm going to work through this morning, going from the outer circle, moving in right to the center, and then moving back out. So, first of all, this blue outer ring that I'm calling it is Moses' first word where he says, obey the Lord's commands. We see this stated in verse 1, then clearly again in verse 6, before we see it coming around again in verse 20. The call to obey the Lord bookends this whole chapter. In verse 1, we see this call to obey stated positively. The whole commandment I command you today, you shall be careful to do. In verse 20 then, right at the end, we see it stated negatively. So shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. We see this call in verse 6. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. Notice three different ways of saying the same thing. Verse 1, be careful to do. Verse 6, keep the commandments. Verse 20, obey the voice of the Lord. And this call to obey is everywhere in the book of Deuteronomy. So it's not surprising that we see this call to obey the Lord framing this whole speech. Such a simple command, isn't it? But yet, what a frustrating reality for us. Just simple. Obey the Lord. Be careful to do what he tells you. Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. Imagine how good things would be for the people and would have been for the people and would be for us if we would just hear and obey this command. But you see, Moses knew that the people then and now would have trouble with this. So he moves on to give the people guidance on how they can keep God's commands. And this moves us from this outer circle in a layer to the next level of this text. Moses says in verses 2 to 10, and then coming back around in 15 to 18, remember God. Remember the Lord, and that will help you to obey his commands. And look specifically at what he calls them to remember here from 2 to 10. He says, remember your wilderness years. He calls them to remember the hard years. In verses 2 to 10, let's watch this closely as we walk through it. He says, remember the lessons from the wilderness because you're coming into a good land. Verse 2, you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness.
And he says, remember this, so that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not. So here we see one of God's primary purposes for his people in their wilderness wanderings. That 11-day journey that took 40 years was full of purpose. We see that God wanted to humble his people, to test them, to see what was in their hearts. But notice, this is not the ultimate purpose for the wilderness wanderings. That comes in verse 3. The testing of verse 2 was a means to a greater end that we see in verse 3. What was the end? Well, look at verse 3. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, I want you to follow the logic in this text very clearly, because it's very important. Follow the logic. First step, in the wilderness, God let you hunger. Second step, when you were hungry, he fed you so that you were full and sustained in the wilderness. Now, what would you expect to come next? Well, here's what I would expect. He let you hunger, and then he fed you so that you were full. And what I would expect is, so that you would know that he's a faithful provider or one who can care for you in the wilderness. That's what I would expect as I'm looking at this text, but it doesn't say that. Notice, it says he let you hunger and then fed you with manna so that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, how are we to understand this? Truth is rich. He lets them hunger. And then he fills that physical hunger with the manna and with the water from the rock. But the people start to realize, I'm full physically. My physical thirst has been quenched. But there's a deeper hunger, a deeper thirst that physical food and physical water is not satisfying. God's let me hunger. He's filled me. But then I'm realizing that there are deeper hungers, deeper appetites that nothing physical can meet. The only thing that can fill my deeper needs is the word that comes from the mouth of God himself. That's the logic of this text. Real and abundant life comes not just from physical things that meet our appetites, but from deeper spiritual things that fill the deeper appetites of our souls. You see, God was teaching Israel in the wilderness that they would only really experience life when they lived first according to his words and his commands. And so it is with us again today. We will only know real satisfaction when we are living our lives according to the word of God. Notice how Moses continues and progresses here in verse 4. He reminds them now of moving from the lessons in the wilderness to now the lessons of Yahweh's faithfulness in the wilderness to care for them. Your clothing did not wear out on you. Your foot did not swell these 40 years. Can you think of a more perfect commentary on this than Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added onto you. In verse 5, they're brought right back to the heart of God's work in the wilderness. Know then in your heart, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. All their journeying, all their tests, all the lessons were part ultimately of God's fatherly care for his people. He was causing his people in the wilderness, in the hard times, to look to him. He was disciplining his people in their trials, loving them with his grace, just as a father disciplines his children and loves them and brings them to himself. Brothers and sisters, when are we ever going to learn that our trials, our wilderness experiences, are not punishments from God, but part of his fatherly care, his design to use trials to help us to keep our eyes on him so that we could know the life that is only life that comes from him? You'll note in verses 6 to 10, we have a prolonged description of the land that the Lord is taking Israel into, a description that's summarized in verse 9, where we read that Israel will lack nothing. Verse 10 then says that they should, in the land, be characterized by an attitude of thankfulness to the Lord for all his goodness. So they're called first in this speech to obey the Lord, just keep his commands. Now they're called to remember the Lord. Remember his work through your hard times, through the years that have gone past. Remember the lessons you've learned, that physical things don't satisfy. The only thing that really satisfies is living your life according to the revealed will and word of God. And remember his faithfulness, how he's cared for you, how he's loved you, how he's provided for you. Remembering that will help you to keep obeying the Lord and walking in his ways. But notice how this whips back around in verses 15 to 18. Before we move into the bullseye, let's just look at how the bottom end of this comes back around. Verses 15 to 18. Look at 15, the themes picked up again. The Lord who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents, scorpions, thirsty ground, who brought you water, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers didn't know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Do you see how all the themes are present there that we've already had? You see, this is a typical Hebrew way of communicating. You've got the outer layers moving into inner layers, taking you then right in to the heart. But this bottom end here in 15 to 18 brings us a new contribution to this text in giving us a very stark warning of a specific risk of coming into a place of plenty, comfort, and security. Here's what will happen if you don't remember, verse 17. You'll say in your heart, my power, the might of my hand have got me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord, for it's he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You see, it is the easiest thing in the world to come out of years of challenge and the hard grind of life, and then to get to the other side and to receive your pension or to receive everything and sort of to be in a much more comfortable place and then sort of put the afterburners on and say, look at my life and how well I have done for myself. And we can pat ourselves in the back and say, you've done well. You've worked hard. My power, my strength have gotten me this wealth. And we can forget that it's the Lord who's caused us to be in this place. He's the one who cared for us over the last 40, 50 years and has brought us to this place of peace and security. We must be careful not to get to a place of comfort and security where we forget the Lord and get puffed up with pride, thinking we've arrived. We all need the Lord as much as everyone else. And here we're called to obey his commands and to remember his lessons through life, his provision and faithfulness through life, so that you'll keep obeying. But now we go into the bullseye, into the heart of this text in verse 11, but that moves us into 12, 13, and 14. Verse 11 in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is the only grammatical imperative in this chapter. Now, what does that mean? Well, I have two young boys, Hudson and Elliot, 3 and 2, and I find that I'm using grammatical imperatives all the time with them. A grammatical imperative is a command. It's, stop, Hudson. Elliot, put that down. No, you're not to play with that. That's what a command is. It's called an imperative. It's stop. And you don't see it as much in the English, but in the Hebrew text, there's only one grammatical imperative, one command that's given, and it's here in verse 11. And why that's significant, why I tell you that, is because when an author uses that kind of language, that command, they want you to sit up and realize, here's the weight, here's the crux of what I'm saying. And look at verse 11. The imperative, the command is, take care. Which could be also translated, watch. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. And let that sink in for a moment, that here's what Moses is saying. Here's what he's saying. Here's what God's saying to us in his word. You keep a close watch on yourself. When you're in the land, obey. Remember. But now he says, watch yourself. Or here's what will happen. You'll forget the Lord, and you won't obey his commands. You'll get comfortable. Your heart will stray. Look at 12 and 13. You're going to have plenty of food. You're going to have a lovely big house. You're going to have lots of wealth. None of that in itself is wrong necessarily. But look at verse 14. What that could lead to. Your heart will be lifted up, and you could forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Verse 17, look at the heart language. Beware lest you say in your heart just these inward thoughts and inward attitude. My power, the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. We could start getting into an attitude where we say inwardly, we would never articulate it like this, but we start saying inwardly or thinking inwardly, you know, I've done well for myself. And our comfort, our ease, and our security can sing us to sleep, making us forget all the lessons from the wilderness. And you start believing the illusion that comfort and security is real life, and you forget your desperate, desperate need for every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's where you live. That's the bread for our souls. That's the water that quenches the deeper thirsts. But we can get so smothered in affluence that we forget that. And we buy into the illusion that this stuff satisfies. And it doesn't. And there's so much more for us in God, more for us in his love, more for us in our understanding of the gospel. And we just sort of rest in some place and we think that's enough. And we're called to remember. And to watch our souls carefully, that we can press on into greater knowledge, greater revelations of God's grace, and more of a deep experience of his love. Isn't that what this conclusion in verses 19 and 20 warns us against? If you forget the Lord and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I warn you today, you'll perish. It's reminiscent of Jesus' words in John 15. Abide in me and you will bear fruit. If you do not abide in me, you're like a branch that is pulled off and thrown aside and it withers and dies. It's good for nothing just to be thrown into the fire and burned. Verse 20 of Deuteronomy 8, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So, we have these outer bookends. Obey the Lord and keep his commands. We move in a step on the speech, in the speech, in a circle. Remember the Lord. And that's going to help you to keep obeying. And then right at the heart of it, watch your soul carefully. Watch your walk with God, your Bible reading, your prayer, your intimacy, your heart attitude. Watch yourself. Keep checking in on yourself. How am I doing? How are my affections for God? Am I passionate for God? Am I sleeping? Have I drifted? Have I over the years just drifted away from a dependence on God? Was there a time when I was in the thick of it and I was really in the wilderness years and God's brought me out of it, but I've been out of it now for some time, and to be honest, I've been comfortable, I've forgotten him, and I don't think I'm living in accordance with his word and his ways. You might not even say that. You're just not hungry and thirsty for his will and his ways anymore. Your comfort has lulled you to sleep. And maybe this morning, God would want to come and say to you, wake up, wake up, wake up. There's so much more for you and me. We take care to remember. We remember to obey. And look at the end of this all. Look at what it's all leading to when we go back out of this circle into verse 1 and 20 again. I've said nothing so far about the end of this all. This taking care of yourself to make sure you're remembering. Remembering to make sure you're obeying. Obeying towards what great end? We'll look back at verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do that what you may live. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Verse 1 is this great offer of life, real life, as we walk with God. But look at how verse 20 then phrases the same idea. If you forget the Lord and do not obey, you will surely perish. At the head of this, life if you obey. At the tail of it, death if you will not obey. It is no surprise to me then that the culmination of this great speech in Deuteronomy comes in chapter 30, where Moses explicitly offers the people life or death. Deuteronomy 30, 19, Moses' great culmination, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life. You see, the world is full of people who still not learned the lesson. God can be trusted. His word is true. His offer of life is life. And if we drift away from him and his word, living according to his revealed word and his ways, we are walking away from the life that is truly life, the only thing that really satisfies. Isaiah was right when he said in Isaiah 55:2, why do you work so hard for that which does not satisfy? Could that not be a word for our culture? Busier than ever, more time-saving devices than ever, and busier than ever. And could we not hear God prophetically speaking again to our culture saying, why do you work so hard for that which does not satisfy? You see, real life, and if there's anyone here this morning you don't know the Lord, let me speak to you directly. Real life does not come from a transcript from your university full of A's. Real life does not come from a social life full of friends or a Facebook account that's packed with friends. Real life does not come from lots of money, a nice house, security. It doesn't even come from that husband or wife that you long to have, or the idea of that perfect marriage or that parenting relationship. Real life comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Intimately, fully knowing him, obeying him, walking in his ways, seeking him, trusting him to look after you. That's the life that is life. Is it not now easy to see why in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, when Satan came to Jesus and made him try to provide for his own needs with physical things, that Jesus picks up this very text and responds and says to Satan, Satan, man does not live by bread alone. It's not physical things ultimately that's going to satisfy this hunger. Because this physical hunger that I'm experiencing now is a parable of a greater hunger in my soul that hungers for me to live according to the will and ways of my Father. And so he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus taking this very text and showing us the life that is life, that which truly satisfied him when he had a physical hunger, pointing us all to the satisfaction of a greater obedience, a greater, deeper satisfaction that comes when we seek to be filled by living in obedience with the Lord. And we know that Jesus went on to say in John 6, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. My body is true food. And the blood that I pour out in my death, this is real drink. This is what truly meets humanity's deepest need. And he points us all to himself as the one that meets our great needs, who covers our sin and brings us to the Father himself. Simply put, this text in Deuteronomy 8 commands an attitude of watchfulness. In Deuteronomy 4:9, Moses said, take care and keep or watch your soul diligently. Let me just ask you, have you been watching your soul diligently? Carefully assessing, where am I at with God? Have I drifted a little? Am I close? How's my Bible reading? How's my prayer? How's my fasting? How's my giving? How's my evangelism? How's just my affections? Am I drifting or am I walking intimately with him? You see, we're called, keep your soul, watch your soul diligently. Or we will forget the Lord and we'll drift and we'll stop obeying and we'll lose life. So, let's take care to watch our souls so that we remember the Lord. Let's remember the Lord so that we will obey the Lord. And let's obey and live according to God's word so that we'll know life and show this world real life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you will plant it deep within us and shape and fashion us through it in your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.